This week's edition of If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right is dedicated to my nephew, Logan Alexander Meyer, who passed away a week ago. Logan was not quite 4 months old, and it's been very tough to contemplate why it's like this, something like that happens. But this show is dedicated to him and to the little buddy I'll never get to know. Week on If You're Left, You Just Ain't Right. There's a lot to get to, as always. I've got a question about newspaper headlines. I've got a question about these pundits that always tell us what to think about politics. Are they smart, or are they just educated, a lot of them, beyond their hat size? We've got a judge in Germany filing a criminal complaint against the German chancellor for saying she's glad that OBL is DOA. We've got a teacher that, well, apparently likes pot a little bit and has a big mouth. We're going to opine about feminists and why they're always so whiny and bitter. We're going to look at the EPA, when you regulate dust. We'll look at a guy who, well, I'll leave the weird sex story to the end. I don't even know how to describe this one. We also have the cowardice of Osama bin Laden as he died and faced real warriors. All that follows all of this. Be back. Welcome back. Let's get right into this, folks. Osama bin Laden is dead. He died of acute sealitis, stemming from an encounter with Navy SEALs, as bad guys do when they run into Navy SEALs, they die. The Navy SEALs are, well, America's Special Forces are the baddest dudes on the planet. And I've always believe the SEALs are probably the elite of those. I won't say that for sure because I really don't want to tick off Green Berets or anybody like that. But God bless our special forces. They do things that are absolutely incredible. And they've gotten Osama bin Laden. And it turns out that we had heard that Osama would have his guards kill him or take his own life or go down in his heroic death. Turns out he died like a gutless coward, which suits swine like him. From Ace of Spades blog, there was always talk that bin Laden would have his guards kill him or kill himself before the filthy infidels could kill or capture him. He certainly had plenty of time to do so once the raid started. Turns out Mr. Tough Guy, who had no problem killing or sending others to their deaths, wasn't so tough after all. Sources involved in the operation that took down Osama bin Laden told Fox News the terrorist leader acted scared and completely confused in his final moments, shoving his wife at the Navy SEAL who ultimately shot him. The information helps clarify the conflicting details about what exactly happened toward the end of the 40-minute raid on bin Laden's Pakistan compound. Sources who were part of the mission said bin Laden acted in a cowardly manner when confronted. Again, that's what terrorists are. Terrorists are not military warriors. They're not heroes. They're not brave. They're not courageous. They're cowards. They are filth. And thank God Osama bin Laden's dead. And credit to the SEALs. Credit to our military. Again, the very best the world's ever seen. Now, Melissa Cloutier had something on her Twitter feed that I think was very profound about this. We had the debate over whether to release the photos, whether or not to release the photos, and people on both sides were all over the place with it. I would have released them personally. But Melissa writes, if there's a video of this, it needs to be released. Now, let the cannon fodder of the Islamic world see what their leader is like when confronted not with the idea of killing unarmed civilians, but warriors. I'd like to think the bastard shit his pants. I would too. Of course, Osama bin Laden was buried at sea. That sparked some controversy. I hope he was wrapped in bacon, frankly, before he was dumped overboard. And I don't really have a problem with burying him at sea. I don't care. We got him. He's dead. He's done. And the world is a better place. A far better place. Now, there's a question I have regarding the bin Laden thing. We've heard since this happened that we've got to be careful. This will spark outrage on the Arab street, outrage in the Islamic world, outrage among jihadis. Jihadis were born offended. They were born outraged. They were born inflamed. They were born acting as if they had perpetual hemorrhoids. But the other McCain had a question about a headline. And I want to know if people actually get paid to think up newspaper headlines. Because this is the headline. There was a huge protest in England. And it says, furious bin Laden supporters vow to take revenge. Huh. And Stacey McCain asked the obvious question and made the obvious point here. You know how we were always screaming death to the infidel American imperialists before you killed bin Laden? Well, now we're going to scream it even louder. So there, nah. Why are we concerned with upsetting these people, if you want to call them people? How in the world are we supposed to believe that these people somehow, we can placate them? It's this ingrained attitude that we can somehow reach out, placate them, appease them. You can't do it. The only way to stop these people, these vermin, is to kill them. Frankly, I would not have been unhappy at all if the UK police, military, whatever, had opened fire on this huge crowd. I would not. I'm sorry. If you want to call me insensitive, whatever. England is becoming a hellhole. Parts of France are becoming a hellhole. Lots of Europe is, because Islamists have been allowed to immigrate there. They've not been asked or forced to assimilate. And they've created these enclaves where I did a story on my blog. There's a part of France that you can't go to if you're not Muslim. In France. If you're going to move to France, by God, be French or be gone. The same with Spain, Italy, the United States, Israel, anywhere else. It is time we stopped tolerating Islamism. This radical brand of jihad. These people who are proponents of Sharia law. It is time they were forced to leave civilized countries. Let them go to the hellhole they came from. If that country wants to have a government that does the evil, vile things that Sharia law dictates, then ship their asses over there. You want to call me racist, you want to call me Islamophobe, you want to call me whatever you want. I have had it, and I'm tired of it. There was a story here in North Texas 2 or 3 years ago about a cab driver who killed his two daughters, teenage, beautiful girls, because they were dared to be too Western. That son of a bitch has never been caught. You know what, folks? It gives you a different perspective when it's a few miles from your home. And you realize that these people do live amongst us. And if you don't think it's that close, got a story for me from the San Diego News. It's a TV station out there, 10 News, 10news.com. They write, a terrorist organization whose home base is in the Middle East has established another home base across the border in Mexico. They are recognized by many experts as the A-team of Muslim terrorist organizations, a former U.S. intelligence agent told 10 News. The former agent, referring to Shia Muslim terrorist group Hezbollah, added they certainly have had success in the big-ticket bombings. Not a lot of training. Excuse me, I messed up. Some of the group's bombings include the U.S. Embassy in Beirut and Israeli Embassy in Argentina. However, the group is now active much closer to San Diego. San Diego, California. California in the United States. We are looking at 15 or 20 years that Hezbollah has been setting up shop in Mexico, the agent told 10 News. Since the September 11th attacks, U.S. policy has focused on Al-Qaeda and its offshoots. They are more shooters than thinkers. It's a lot of muscle, courage, desire, but not a lot of training, the agent said, referring to Al-Qaeda. Hezbollah, he says, is far more advanced. Now, they've been operating in South America for decades, and then Central America, along with their sometime rival, sometime ally Hamas, another terrorist organization. Now the group is blending into Shia Muslim communities in Mexico, including Tijuana. Other pockets along the U.S.-Mexican border region remain largely unidentified as U.S. intelligence agencies are focused on the drug trade. Don't be surprised if they've got their hands in the drug trade either. They have had clandestine training in how to live in foreign hostile territories, the agent said. He told 10 News the group receives cartel cash and protection in exchange for Hezbollah expertise. In other words, they're working with the drug cartels. Just like I said, they're working with the drug cartels, swine working with scum, and they're becoming a more and more and more and more imminent threat to this country. This is why I have said, if I were president, I would grab Flippy Calderon, the piece of trash, scumbag president of Mexico, by his collar, and I would look at him in his beady little bastard eyes, and I would tell him, you are going to fix the mess there, or our military will be there to fix it. And if you don't like it, tough. This is an imminent threat to this country. We have to nip it in the bud, whatever it takes. As I've said, our foreign policy ought to be, speak softly, carry a big stick. And when you use that stick, use it in such a manner so devastating that no one would ever even want to contemplate even attempting to think about screwing with you as a nation again. So you've got Hezbollah right across the border. And we know what Hezbollah does. They're terrorists. And when's the last time you heard your senator, your representative in Congress, your president, even the president before this president, or the president before that president, or the president before that? When's the last time you heard any of these fools, which many of them are, talking about this? Why the hell isn't this a campaign issue in 2012 for the president? It should be. We talk about border security, and this is why border security is so important. You see, some people have problems accepting the difference between principles and issues. They get stuck on issues like, well, it's not fair. People want to come here and work hard, and you feel bad for them. I understand that. I understand that. But there's a principle, and the principle is a country is either a sovereign nation with the ability and desire to enforce its borders, enforce its border security laws, immigration laws, and control who comes into the country and how long they stay and for what purposes, or you have a nation that is soon no longer sovereign or safe. That's the key we're talking about here. The day there's a massive terror attack in this country is getting closer and closer, and it's going to come, I believe, from south of our border, because our politicians and many of our business leaders who care more about cheap labor than national security, you know who you are, you greedy bastards, they care more about those things than American lives, American blood, and American sovereignty. As far as I'm concerned, I wouldn't be disappointed if they shipped their asses to an Islamic country. Let them try doing business there a while, too. I've had it with people who want to sell this country down the river. I've had it with gutless politicians. I've had it with people who want to defend and try to appease terrorists and dictators. This is the best country this world has ever been graced with. And it's time we recognize that. And we made damn sure to take care of our security first. Now, speaking of the 2012 election, I am openly endorsing and supporting Herman Cain for president. And a lot of you are saying, oh, he can't win, he can't win, he can't win. Remember 2008 when Hillary Clinton was going to be president? She would win the Democratic nomination. The pundits all agreed. Hillary was a shoo-in. Then some guy named Obama started running, and yeah, he's a nice-looking guy, speaks well, he seems like a nice guy, and not a chance in hell. Who's president now? It ain't Hillary Clinton, although we'd probably be better served if she was. As bad as she is, she's not as bad as President Bambi is. But, pundits, these people, these geniuses, the talking heads on TV, and they write columns, and they're the people who are the insiders. They're the ones we are supposed to go to and beg for political knowledge. Well, there was a Republican debate the other night in South Carolina. Tim Pawlenty was there, Herman Cain was there, Ron Paul was there. And Ron Paul's amazing. He sounds sometimes like a genius, sometimes like an idiot. And there was a few others there that aren't front runners, second, third tier, they've been called. Herman Cain won that debate. Hands down, there was a Frank Luntz focus group there. And overwhelmingly, they said Cain won the debate. Now, I think he won it for very simple reasons. He's a straight talker. He doesn't come across as a politician. He doesn't BS you. He answers questions. He answers them directly. He doesn't hem-haw around. He knows a lot about business. He was the CEO of Godfather's Pizza. And one thing a lot of people don't understand about Herman Cain, remember the Hillary Care back in 93? Remember that was defeated? Remember the series of commercials of Frank and Louise that were very effective in informing America about Hillary Care and ultimately led to its defeat? Herman Cain was the driving force behind that. Now, as I wrote on my blog, Herman Cain won the South Carolina Republican debate the other night. The establishment pundits are aghast, amazed, astounded, and most of all, clueless at the news. Why, you might ask yourself. Cain was the strongest speaker, the most realistic, and sounded the least like a politician, except for Ron Paul, who sounds like a genius half the time and a nut half the time. In today's political reality, more and more Americans are sick of politicians. So it would stand to reason that more and more of us would gravitate toward a candidate like Herman Cain. As Stacey McCain points out, the folks at the department of not getting it, well, they're like a 50-year-old virgin. They're just not getting it. From forum contributor, Noah Christula Green, always, always have skepticism toward the intelligence of somebody with a hyphenated last name. It's just very pretentious. Something I don't like about it. But this person has a post about last night's GOP debate titled, "Why is Pawlenty on the stage with these crazy people?" Christula Green includes this statement. Herman Cain was not someone I gave high marks to during the debate, but he won, in parentheses, the Frank Luntz focus group that came on immediately after the debate. Cain would consistently answer his questions, giving a bullet point response, arguing that you need to identify the problem before solving the problem. For whatever reason, this seems to appeal to the focus groups. As McCain retorts, yeah, pragmatism is so impractical. In other words, Cain didn't give a political answer. He gave a non-BS, straightforward answer like a leader would. Like a sincere person of integrity would. And this person from the firm forum just doesn't... How is it? They're political. They think politically. They look for things that normal people don't look for. That's why so often they get elections wrong. Now, Greens, or I guess Christula Green's conventional wisdom about the Greenville debate was expressed by Ben Smith of Politico, who dismissed the other participants as second and third tier candidates and said Pawlenty was widely viewed as the only candidate in Thursday night Fox's Fox News debate with any real chance of becoming the nominee of his party or president of the United States. As McCain notes, widely viewed is one of those phrases like many observers, by which reporters embed conventional wisdom opinions into their stories as if they were talking about established facts. In campaign coverage, this is a way of privileging the punditry over actual voters. Now, folks, the smart pundits, as McCain has labeled them, cannot seem to grasp this. They tend to overthink and overanalyze political debates. As a consequence of their overthinking, they often miss the obvious. They are too smart to admit that the easy answer is also the correct answer. They also, as Jeff Goldstein, another one of us stupid bloggers, points out, are oftentimes intent on ensuring that we voters, who are certainly not as smart as the pundits, are left with nothing but cookie-cutter politicians. Goldstein writes, to the establishment polls, Cain struggled. To the Frank Luntz focus group who watched the debate, Cain was the clear winner. So now it's the duty of the establishment polls and the establishment media to assure us that Cain can't win. There you go. Here's Chris Cizilla of the Washington Post dismissing Cain for all the typical reasons. He writes, still, no matter how bright Cain shone last night, he has little chance of winning the nomination. While he has some personal money, he doesn't have nearly enough cash to fund his own campaign, and fundraising could be tough for him in such a crowded field with lots of better-known candidates running. He also lost his only other major race, a 2004 primary against now Senator Johnny Isaacson of Georgia. That kind of electoral record is not likely to inspire much confidence among major donors. While he's popular with Tea Party voters, their impact in early states will be diluted by open primaries in New Hampshire and South Carolina. Again, your typical political answers. The fact is, Herman Cain's much different than many of the people running. Michelle Bachmann might give him problems because she's a Tea Party candidate too. But she's not in the race. I think she probably will get in. But again, even though the race has just started, Herman Cain is doomed. That's establishment thinking. This is the same old GOP leadership mentality that I call the diminished expectations approach to winning elections. Remember, Marco Rubio had no chance of ever winning that Florida Senate seat, did he? The establishment GOP told us so. They said, get behind Charlie Crist. He is our only hope. excuse me, something in my throat. They said, get behind Charlie Crist. He is our only hope. The Republican Senatorial Committee told us, well, Senator Rubio is in office. Charlie Crist stabbed the GOP in the back, and the establishment still does not get it. Now, maybe Kane won't win. Maybe he will. But why do you want to dismiss someone who is clearly right now the most conservative guy running? Why do you want to throw him overboard right now? Because the smart pundits want a Republican who's prepackaged and pre-approved. Now, look, if we get Pawlenty or someone else, get behind him. Any of this feels better than Obama. That's clear. But don't give up on Herman Cain before we give him a chance to show what he can do. Remember, no one really ever heard of Obama at this stage of the 2008 race either. Look at it this way. Who out there among the smart pundits knew Hillary would not win that nomination? Who really gave Obama a chance in hell? But the smart pundits are always right. Well, except for that Hillary loss. And yeah, that whole Dewey beating Truman thing. And oh yes, remember that Reagan guy? A lot of pundits said he could never win. Oh, the tragedy of educated beyond their hat size pundits. If they stopped telling us what to think, how would we ever, ever, ever understand politics? I guess we just wouldn't. Now, Osama bin Laden is still dead. There's an update for you. He's still being eaten by fishes right now. But a judge has filed a criminal complaint against German Chancellor for saying she's glad that bin Laden is dead. The political and public fallout following Chancellor Angela Merkel's statement on Monday that she was glad Osama bin Laden had been killed was among the most hotly debated topics in German media this week. And you know how Germans are about their media. Politicians, including those within her own center-right coalition, said that no death was cause for celebration. That's complete bullshit. It is. I am still doing the happy dance over Obama being dead. I'm sorry, Osama being dead. So many people make that mistake. Excuse me, pardon my French. Osama being dead. And, well, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. Hamburg judge Heinz Uttmann went even further. He alleges that the chancellor's statement was nothing short of illegal and filed a criminal complaint against Merkel midweek, the Daily Hamburger Morgan Post reported Friday. Can you really believe a paper called the Hamburger Morgan Post? I'm a law-abiding citizen and a judge, sworn to justice and law, the 54-year-old told the paper, adding that Merkel's words were tacky and undignified. Tacky and undignified, the world's best-known terrorist is dead. He was killed. Good. That's good news. Learn to accept good news. It's not a bad thing, is it? Now, before we get to some music, some good music this week, let's talk about Bradley Gumow. Now, you've never heard of him, have you? He's from Bartow, Florida. He was a teacher. Probably still is. He won't be for long, I don't think. He was tasered and jailed after deciding it was a good idea to stuff 5 bags of pot into his mouth during a traffic stop. The 33-year-old teacher at Bartow High School in Polk County was tasered and jailed on Monday after he allegedly tried to hide 5 bags of pot in his mouth. According to Bartow police, officers had pulled Gumow over for a traffic stop and were attempting to speak with him when they noticed what appeared to be a plastic bag in his mouth. When officers asked Gumow what he had in his mouth, the suspect turned his head away and refused to be cooperative. I don't think that strategy worked out well for him. When Gumow continued to be uncooperative, the officer zapped him with the attention of a taser gun. Naturally, Gumow spit out what would amount to 5 bags of marijuana. 5 bags of marijuana. Not 4, not 6, 5. They were hidden inside his mouth. He was jailed on charges of marijuana possession, resisting officers without violence, and violating probation as a result of reckless driving. Why is he on probation teaching? That's a good question for you. But folks, if you're going to have 5 bags of pot with you, they don't fit well in your mouth and you got to talk. It's not a good idea. I do not know this from personal experience, by the way. I don't do that kind of thing. I'm not a teacher. Only teachers in Florida, in Bartow, Florida, especially, do these freaky kind of things. Now, I have a little bit of music, Uprising from Muse. This is dedicated to Amy of the All Out Amy Show. She always used to use this in her show during breaks, and I really fell in love with this song. So, Amy, you better be listening tonight, because I dedicated this song to you. I'll be back with the rest of the show. The second half kicks off after this musical interlude. Enjoy, my friends. I will be back. Welcome back, my friends. Muse, Uprising, very good song. And a quick question for you. Why is it that Feminuts, my name, pet name, said with affection, of course, Feminuts, for radical feminists, why this cannot help being pissy and offended. Everything offends them. And as I wrote on my blog earlier this week, oh no, a man noting the attractiveness of a woman has caused a severe outbreak of offenditis in California. Fellow blogger Donald Douglas reported on American Power, great blog, by the way. She's the first Asian Chief Justice in California history, but turns out Democrat Assemblyman Charles Calderon is taking progressives' heat for suggesting that she's an attractive woman, which she is, very attractive. I saw pictures, it was one on my blog, in fact. At the LA Times, the headline reads, Senator demands apology for Assemblyman's comment on the Chief Justice. Now note, this is a Democrat. See, the progressives even attack Democrats, who sometimes are regular people. Liberals can even be regular people. Progressives, though, are leftists. They ain't normal. It's like they were kicked in the head as a child by a mule, repeatedly, and then fell down the stairs. It's as if they were climbing the tree of eternal stupidity and fell, hitting every branch on the way down. The first Chief Justice who's Asian. Now, the liberals should be celebrating this diversity. But the head of the state legislative woman's caucus. Oh, no, not a woman's caucus. Anytime you have blank, blank, blank words in front of caucus, it's going to be offenditis and political correctness, called Tuesday for a state assemblyman to apologize for remarks that referred to the physical appearance and personality of the Chief Justice of the California Supreme Court. Senator Noreen Evans, who's a Democrat from Santa Rosa, sought the apology from Assemblyman Charles Calderon, who's a Democrat from Whittier, for comments he made during a legislative hearing on a bill he introduced to give judges more say in the running of the state's courts. Calderon, he said he meant no disrespect to Chief Justice Tani Cantil Sakier. Excuse my butchering of her name. A transcript and tape of the Judiciary Committee meeting were not immediately available. But the Assemblyman said in an interview that he was making a point that the bill was being advocated on policy merits rather than based on some bias against the Chief Justice. The Assemblyman recalled saying his support for the bill had nothing to do with how smart or nice the Chief Justice was. He called her smart and nice? Wow, what a bastard. What a pathetic bastard, calling a woman smart and nice. How dare you? He also added, it isn't that she isn't pretty, he said in an interview recounting his comments in committee. Oh, so she's good-looking, smart, and nice. Are you insensitive or what, buddy? Come on, don't you know women? If you disagree with a woman, you can't call her pretty, smart, and nice. Apparently, feminists want you to call her what? Ugly, stupid, and a bitch? That's what he should have done. An ugly, stupid bitch. Then Noreen Evans would have probably been okay with it. But, of course, she's asking for a formal apology. And listen to what this idiot says. Your remarks regarding the Chief Justice were degrading and inappropriate. Again, how in the real world is it degrading to call somebody smart, nice, or pretty? And people call me smart, nice, and pretty all the time. I don't appreciate the pretty part. I prefer regularly handsome. But I'll take what I can get. As a leader of California's judiciary, Chief Justice should be taken seriously and not spoken about in such a dismissive and frivolous manner. It's not dismissive to call somebody intelligent, nice, and good-looking. What do you want to bet Noreen Evans, who I could look up a picture of, what do you want to bet she's a double bagger, if you know what I mean? It is crucial that women be valued for more than just being nice or attractive, Evans added. I agree with that. I don't have a problem with that. But it's not degrading to call somebody nice or attractive. Relax, Miss Evans. Just because you're a dog and this lady's very pretty, it's no reason to be petty and jealous. You're not 13 years old. But I have a theory about this. As I wrote on my blog, when exactly did being called nice, smart, and pretty become degrading? Why is it that feminists have such an issue with attractive women being called, well, attractive? Is it because most feminists you see on TV make Rosie O'Donnell look like a prom queen? Petty jealousy. By the way, the judge is very sexy. I guess I'm a sexist pig now. You know, if I wanted to piss off a feminist, I would say something completely sexist, like, I wonder what I have to do to get that judge to hold me in contempt. But I would never, ever do anything to offend a feminist. Of course I wouldn't. I'm too sensitive for that. But congratulations to the justice for her new position. Good luck. God bless. And you can call me anytime. Now the EPA, let's talk a little nanny statism. Let's talk about the environmental perverts. The Environmental Protection Agency. From Always on Watch, another good blog. People ask me, why do you always get your news from blogs? Well, you understand that blogs don't make up news. They take a news story from CNN or Fox or ABC or whoever it comes from, and then they comment on it. So there. This attitude, oh, you get your news off the internet, depends where you get it on the internet. Idiots. According to Reuters, the EPA wants farmers to rein in the amount of dust floating in the air in the American countryside. Really? Oh, good grief. Here comes the EPA. The EPA plans to issue regulations in the fall of 2011. God help us, more regulations. Details of those regulations and the method of enforcement remain unknown, probably because the EPA has no clue how to enforce their regulations. Have any of these EPA idiots ever taken a drive on a country farm and understood that dust is an inherent part of farm life? My granddad used to farm, and you know what? Amazing, when you're plowing a field, dust happens. It just happens. It's part of it. But here's the geniuses at the EPA. Again, they're going to fix something that can't be fixed with legislation. But they're not alone. Oh, no. Let's go back to California. And as I've said before, these people, the nanny staters, wish to control every part of your life. The people of the state of California do an act as follows. There's a new bill in California regulating, are you ready? Regulating bed sheets at hotels, motels, inns, etc., etc. Now, the bill states the standards board shall, no later than September 1st, 2012, adopt an occupational safety and health standard for lodging establishment housekeeping. The standard shall apply to all hotels, motels, and other lodging establishments in California. The standard shall require all of the following. Item number one, the use of fitted sheet instead of a flat sheet at the bottom sheet on all beds within the lodging establishment. For the purpose of this section, a fitted sheet means a bed sheet containing elastic or similar material sewn into each of the four corners that allows the sheet to stay in place over the mattress. Now, why is this the business of the government? And this is an OSHA-related thing. OSHA is requiring this. Again, California is stupid. The federal government, OSHA, even more stupid. So, I don't get it. What is the danger of a flat sheet? Except it may come loose and get, you know, during night you won't be. What is the government doing here? They're control freaks. These are just idiots put in positions of power with nothing better on the time. That's why we should buy them crayons and coloring books. That big box of crayons with 85 colors, and you can sharpen the crayon. Although they'd probably have to have OSHA regulate the sharpener on the Crayola box. These idiots would. Now let's go back a minute to the Osama bin Laden death. He's still dead. That's an update. Eric Holder, though, is not sure who's just brain dead, not sure that the intense interrogation techniques that helped find bin Laden actually helped find bin Laden. You see, as Leon Panetta, who's the head of the CIA, admitted, those enhanced interrogation techniques that the left was so upset about, particularly waterboarding, helped lead to information that ultimately killed bin Laden. But Eric Holder's not sure this is true. He's also not sure that the sun rises in the east or sets in the west, apparently. Why can libs never just admit they're wrong? Why do they never seem willing to learn from history or from their mistakes? 2 years ago, from the Weasel Zippers blog, by the way, 2 years ago, Holder and Obama contemplated prosecuting Bush Cheney for war crimes. Yesterday, Obama enjoyed the high point, his presidency, for one simple reason. He aggressively pursued vital intel that was harvested through enhanced interrogation techniques. Bush sowed, Obama reaped. From TPM, Attorney General Eric Holder said Tuesday he didn't know if any information obtained from detainees undergoing enhanced interrogation techniques led to the killing of Osama bin Laden. He said there was a mosaic of sources that led to the identification of the people who lead to Obama, Holder told members of the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. Now, pressed by Representative Dan Lundgren, who's a Republican, on whether any information used to find bin Laden came out during enhanced interrogation, Holder said, "I don't know." Holder wouldn't engage in a hypothetical on whether he would have opposed military trial for bin Laden had he been taken into custody instead of killed either. Stuck on stupid. That's Eric Holder. Stuck on stupid. Speaking of stuck on stupid, you know, gas prices are a bit of a problem right now. The arm, your leg, your firstborn, you have to pay for gas now. But from the Milton Wolf blog, he opines about Team Obama, about the same as I do. They're about one thing, controlling our lives. Milton writes, "The most transparent aspect of the Obama administration is their desire to control your life. Their latest salvo is to get you out of your car and into their trains." They love trains. Why? The car has long represented freedom in America, and that simply will not do. Now, I think that's very well said. I've long believed that liberals loathe guns because they are the ultimate defender of personal liberty and a tool of self-reliance. And Wolf makes a great case for the same thing being true of cars. The left despises individualism. And face it, a car helps us be more individualistic, not to mention that cars are also a symbol of something else the left loathes, capitalism. And now, by golly, the left sees another way to punish us for having the audacity to be individuals. Now, I'll update it before I talk about the story. They pulled back on this. They're not going to do it yet. They'll come back with something else on a less grand scale. But this will be down the road, not too far. Trust me, the Obama administration has been floating a transportation authorization bill that would require the study and implementation of a plan to tax. You knew that word was coming, didn't you? Tax automobile drivers based on how many miles they drive. The plan is part of the administration's Transportation Opportunities Act. Transportation Opportunities Act. This just sounds something a liberal would come up with, doesn't it? An updated draft of which was obtained this week by Transportation Weekly. The White House, however, said the bill is only an early draft that was not formally circulated within the administration. That's political speak for we're not going to do it because, well, we'll get our ass kicked. Wolf writes, "I love that last line. It's only an early draft and hasn't been formally circulated. I take that transparent sidestep as a mission that they intend to push for this as hard as they can." Well, turns out they're not going to push as hard as they can yet. Recall, Wolf writes, this is an administration that has launched an all-out war on energy, which, of course, is the lifeblood of American freedom and prosperity. Obama's energy plan, in his own words, is one where prices would necessarily skyrocket. Wolf is correct. The left's agenda, every last aspect of it, is nothing more than an all-out assault on American ideals. To the left, this is their one aim, to fundamentally change America. Rest assured, they will never stop seeking to bring some form of Marxism here. Therefore, we must resolve to fight them every day. Now, as I said, the White House has backed away from this. And it's interesting what was said. This is not a bill supported by the administration. That's from White House spokeswoman Jennifer Psaki said. This was an early working draft proposal that was never formally circulated within the administration, does not take into account the advice of the president's senior advisors, economic team, or cabinet officials, and does not represent the views of the president. You want to know why it really is off the table for now? This is why. Listen to House Transportation Chairman John Mica. He has indicated, he's a Republican, by the way, has indicated he did not think a tax per mile proposal was politically palatable, but said Congress would have to look for ways to supplement declining gas tax revenues because we're using less gas, we're driving less, and we're driving more fuel-efficient cars, so we're using less gas, and of course, taxes on gas suffer when you use less gas. Even an increase in gas taxes will not solve the problem, Mica said. Every day, the fleet is getting more efficient. They're literally driving further and paying less, so the system will collapse. Gee, another socialist idea that will collapse because you run out of other people's money. But even before Republicans took control of the House in 2010, on an anti-government wave, Mica said the tax per mile proposal would be tough to sell to voters. They'll be coming up with pitchforks to the Capitol steps, exactly why it's being dropped. It's too politically unpalatable now. Speaking of politically palatable, a House bill that would drastically overhaul the nation's gun control laws and strengthen federal power over states' handling of individual background checks is expected to be introduced today by Carolyn McCarthy. This is from the Daily Caller. Carolyn McCarthy is from New York, and she is one of the leading anti-gun nuts, along with Charles Schumer, also of New York. Charles Schumer, by the way, who's had a lot of support from Donald Trump, you know, that great Republican conservative Donald Trump, the guy with the bad hair. McCarthy is expected to drop the Fixed Gun Checks Act of 2011. A near identical companion to that of fellow New Yorker Charles Schumer's Senate bill, according to sources familiar with the legislation. Another move by the gun grabbers. People like Carolyn McCarthy don't want you to own a gun. They don't care about the Second Amendment, just like Charles Schumer said. He said when the Brady Bill was passed and then Brady Bill 2 came along, he said, for those supporters of the Second Amendment that think Brady Bill was the nose of the camel under the tent, Brady Bill 2 will be the rest of the camel. He told people who actually believe in the Constitution the right to keep bare arms to get over it. Get over that Second Amendment thing. These people are Marxists. They don't believe in the Constitution, and this is, again, the latest example of how they've changed their rhetoric a lot of times. But the left still hates your guns. They still want to take them away. Period. Now, what's the difference between being crazy and being a fool who's digging in the pit of leftist stupidity? Stacey McCain pondered why the insanity levels of Cindy Sheehan, you remember that nutcase, and Glenn Greenwald, and concludes that crazy is crazy, even when it's dressed up as nuanced. Now, this is what Greenwald wrote about, well, you'll find out. Whenever America uses violence in a way that makes its citizens cheer, beam with nationalistic pride, and rally around their leader, more violence is typically guaranteed. Feudal decade-long wars in Iraq and Afghanistan may temporarily dampen the nationalistic enthusiasm for war, but two shots to the head of Osama bin Laden and the We Are Great and Good proclamation it engenders can easily rejuvenate that war love. Americans are marching in the streets, celebrating with a sense of national pride. When is the last time that happened? It seems telling that hunting someone down and killing them is one of the few things that still produce those feelings of nationalistic unity. That's what Greenwald wrote. He's upset that we killed bin Laden and we're proud of it. See? Another morally retarded leftist. Now, he writes very well, nuanced and flowing words and much more pleasing to the ear, the eye in this case, than Cindy Sheehan. This is what that crazy woman wrote. I am sorry, but if you believe the newest death of OBL, you're stupid. Just think yourself. They paraded Saddam's dead sons around to prove they were dead. Why do you suppose they hastily buried this version of OBL at sea? This lying, murderous empire can only exist with your brainwashed consent. Just put your flags away and think. That's from Cindy Sheehan, who thinks Hugo Chavez, the filthy little penguin of Venezuela, the Marxist, the Stalinist, is a great guy. Now, it's easy to see her as a fanatic, ranting like a demented soul who's left planet Lucid on her private rocket of craziness. But Greenwald, he dresses his mental shortcomings up nicely. He sounds well-informed, even scholarly. But as Stacy McCain opines, he is still a sandwich or two short of a picnic. Let's begin by acknowledging there are two different times of crazy. But people who find Cindy Sheehan's crackpot paranoia risible might not see why Greenwald's nuanced anti-Americanism is almost equally demented. Now, I admit, Sheehan's a tad crazy, but she's also incredibly stupid. Anyone who embraces the ideals of leftism is stupid. I know the definition of a saying is doing the same thing over and over while expressing different results. And certainly leftists ought to be rational enough to read history and understand that Marxism, of which leftism, and to a slightly smaller degree liberalism, are but bastard children. But I see two lost souls here stuck in what I refer to as the pit of eternal leftist stupidity. You see, McCain thinks they're crazy. I think they're just fools. But McCain did have something very interesting to say about Greenwald's words. What disturbs me particularly about Greenwald's argument is that he doesn't view every sense of national pride as dangerous, but only American national pride. Cubans, Canadians, Chechens, or Chinese, Poles, or Palestinians, all other peoples can cherish their national identity without stirring any Greenwaldian concern. But let Americans express satisfaction that their military has vanquished a sworn enemy, and this frets Greenwald to no end. His fear and loathing of American nationalism is so great as to produce its mirror reverse. Greenwald is a nutcase, folks. He sounds intelligent and well-informed, but he's still one of these people who hates to see America on top. He hates to see America succeed. He hates to see America successful. He may be a little less crazy than Cindy Sheehan, but his mind still doesn't work well. Now, to close out, the weird sex story, a few perverts out there. Let's talk about Sean Beatty, a half-naked man with a scrunchie wrapped around his genitals, found shouting in the dark near a cemetery. Sounds like a date I had once. Damn, sorry I lost her number. Sean Beatty, a 42-year-old California man, was jailed Friday after police found him near a cemetery wearing nothing but a football jersey, a G-string, and a hair scrunchie around his penis. According to police, officers were dispatched on a report that a half-naked man holding a flashlight was yelling in the dark near a cemetery. Well, he did have a flashlight. Police arrived to find Beatty high on methamphetamine, wearing a Raiders jacket, which most people who are high on methamphetamines are Raider fans. I don't know how that works. A G-string, a pair of socks, and a hair scrunchie around his genitals. Bates appeared jittery to the officers and exhibited dilated pupils. He exhibited a lot more than just dilated pupils. When officers asked why he wasn't wearing any pants, he said, someone must have taken them. The correct answer, of course, was that he was meeting Barney Frank later. That would have cleared him of all wrongdoing. Folks, that is a show for this week. Remember my blog, dailygary.wordpress.com. Thank you for all the prayers and well wishes over the loss of my nephew. It's a tough time. It's tough when you see someone so very young who's just really learned to hold his head up good, leave as he did. Just one of those things, SIDS, they call it. So your prayers and well wishes are still appreciated. We will talk to you next week. Good night. God bless. Remember, if you're left, you just ain't right. And go Gators.